Hello, Internet. It's Tori. You're listening to the Cosmere Deep Dive Podcast. For updates on when episodes go live, follow us on Twitter and Facebook. To join the discussion, visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/CosmereCast, where you'll find an invitation to our Discord server. Thank you for listening, and please enjoy the show. Hello, and welcome to the Cosmere Deep Dive Podcast. This guy here is your host, Mike. Say hi, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
And joining us today are Craig.
Hello, Internet.
Dave.
Hello, Internet.
And me, Tori. Hello, Internet. We start every week with good thing, so Craig, good us a thing.
All right. I got two things today. My first thing I would like to shout out is all of our listeners that are paying attention today. For whatever reason, maybe this is an exciting chapter, I don't know, but they have all joined us in either my Twitch channel or in our voice channel if they happen to be a Patreon. So
maybe because the homework was late this week.
Maybe. If you guys are interested at least joining our Discord, you can find us at patreon.com/CosmereCast. So that's our Patreon. We have a link to our Discord there. You don't have to give us money. Appreciated if you do so. But join our Discord. You can chat about spoilers. You can chat about not spoilers. You can see all the artwork Dave does for us and things like that. It's fun. So that's my first good thing. My second good thing is the game, video game that I am playing right now, which is called Horizon Zero Dawn. Maybe you guys have heard of it. It's pretty popular. It's an open world game with robot dinosaurs. I don't really think I need to say much more than that.
Monster Hunter?
What's that?
Is it Monster Hunter?
Oh, that's true. Okay, I do have to say a little bit. But it's a game that Sony, or I guess a developer that Sony made, but it is out for PC on Steam. I don't know if it's on Epic, but I know it's on Steam. That's how I got it. And it's also, of course, on PlayStation. But yeah, it's really, really, really good. It has a very compelling story. The environment is amazing. Like when it first came out, beautiful game. I mean, it's still a beautiful game. Don't get me wrong. It's just like it was like mind blowing. When it came out, like very, like visually looks very good. Like I said, there's robot animals and dinosaurs that you have to handle and deal with. And so you either fight them or, you know, maybe you get them on your side. A lot of stealth gameplay if you like that sort of thing, but you don't necessarily have to be stealth. The game gives you a lot of tools to handle the different scenarios that you get involved with. The only downside for some people is that it is an open world game. So if you're not into that sort of thing, that like might turn you away. But I would say, if you're interested, it's a third person bow and arrow, like bows and other type similar weapons. So bow and arrow type game. If you're interested at all, it's very easy to get into. Like, yes, it's an open world game, but there's not a lot of like emptiness, so to speak. Like, there's always something you could potentially be doing, and you don't have to do all the things. That's the beauty of a game. Like, very good at like guiding you and finding things, explore the world. And like I said, oh, and I think I mentioned the story's all pretty compelling. There's some interesting stuff happening. Yeah, cool. So if you're interested, give it a try. I do know if you want to run it on PC, you probably need like a close to the top of the line PC because of how little is optimized. I think that's one of the issues people have. It runs fine on my machine, but my computer is new. I just got it this year.
So for a really long time, based just on the name, I thought it was like a Call of Duty game.
Okay. It does have a weird name, yeah, yeah.
But no, it's Explore and Robot Dinosaurs.
Yep.
Neat.
So, Horizon Zero Dawn.
Dave, what's good?
My good thing this week is the Mighty Ducks Game Changers. All right, so growing up, I didn't really like the Mighty Ducks movies when I was a kid. My sisters loved them and watched them every single day, which I think may have contributed to my distaste for them as a youth. But yeah, there's a new television series on Disney Plus which follows Gordon Bombay and a local hockey team of miscreants. I don't think that's the right word, but you know, it's a cute show. I mean, it's not like, I don't know,
it's good. It's just funny that you mention it because I just noticed that was available.
And it's
and
cute.
My other friend was talking about it. I'm sort of like, okay, like it's funny like that they're remaking these movies into TV shows, but it's really good when they can get the same actors and everything.
Yeah, they have they've got Emilio Estevez and some of the actors from The movies have cameos and stuff, but yeah, I mean, I rewatched the movies with my sister, and I was like, these are actually pretty good. The first two are actually pretty good. And then, you know, started watching this series, and, like, it's a really cute show. It's got likable characters, and it's not, like, groundbreaking or original, and they are definitely trying to milk the nostalgia, but, like, it's a solid show. It's really cute and enjoyable and really funny, too. I have two
things for this. The first, Gordon Bombay is the villain of the first movie.
Well, sure.
And then the second is that Dylan Playfair from Letterkenny, the show.
Who does he play in the show?
No idea. Haven't watched it. I just know he's in it. And I know him
Dylan
from
Dylan Playfair.
Playfair.
Dylan Playfair.
Wait, Mike, are you saying that Emilio Estevez...
Oh, he's the jerk? Oh, dude, he's
the first movie?
I'm saying that Emilio Estevez, Gordon Bombay, is the villain of the first movie. He's not framed that way, but he is.
Okay, when I do my rewatch, I'm going to pay attention to that and see if I agree. Because I actually felt like watching that first movie.
He does some questionable things. I mean, like, he tells the kids to, like, basically try to cheat and...
Well, I remember he starts out, like, as a bit of a jerk. Like,
he gets nicer, like, toward the end, but... yeah, so Dylan Playfair is the jerk of the show.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, Mike, what's your good thing?
I don't remember if I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, but Andy Weir wrote a book recently called Project Hail Mary, which I have read and finished, and it was phenomenal. Andy Weir is the same guy who wrote The Martian and Artemis, and I would say that it is nearly as good as The Martian, way better than Artemis. Good stuff. The plot is, what if the sun got a fungal infection? And go.
What if the sun got a fungal infection? Like,
well, it'd be bad, Tori.
How does that even, like, what?
It'd be real bad, because the fungal infection would eat the sun's output and reduce it by about 10% over the course of, like, 50 years.
Oh, I see.
Which would be pretty catastrophic for life on Earth, specifically, like, humans and crops and stuff. Be bad.
Yes, I could see how that would be bad.
So there's a space mission to fix it.
Because of course there is.
And I don't want to say
anymore. So they have
to
fight evil fungus? It's like Space Mario Brothers?
Something like that. The fungus, it turns out, actually works out as a really, really, really powerful and efficient rocket, among other things. But it must be defeated.
Calling it now. That's how they get home.
Defeat fungus.
So yeah, Project Hail Mary by Andy Weir. Good stuff. Oh, and I know I haven't mentioned this before because I didn't know about it before. John Scalzi has a book coming out that I know nothing about except the title, and I'm very excited about it. It's called The Kaiju Preservation Society.
Oh my goodness, I'm excited by that title.
Right?
Those are like the Godzilla guys, right?
Kaiju, yeah.
Yeah.
Which author is this?
John Scalzi.
What else does he do?
He did the Old Man's War series, Red Shirts, Agent to the Stars, some other stuff. I like his work, generally. I've mentioned it before here.
Yeah.
So, Kaiju Preservation Society, John Scalzi.
We're predicting it's going to be a good thing. Because how can you go wrong with a title like that?
Well, and, you know, I've enjoyed basically everything else he's written. So,
fair.
Pretty good track record.
My good thing, to the surprise of no one who's been paying attention, is Castlevania Season 4. Because I'm pretty sure Seasons 1 through 3 have been my good things in the past at some point. At least 1 and 2. I know that.
I've literally never heard this show before, Tori. Tell me more about it.
That's just because you weren't paying attention, Craig. So, yeah. Season 4 has Trevor and Sypha traveling the world trying to clean up after the mess that Dracula left behind. Meanwhile, Alucard is in Dracula's castle and trying to defend some locals from marauding night creatures. And there's a lot of vampire drama, people trying to move up in the power vacuum left behind by Dracula. And
so this is supposed to follow the game? Like, this is Trevor Belmont?
Yes,
like
it is.
Alucard.
Yes. From Castlevania.
From Castlevania 3,
it
yeah.
It sounds like this is
Corey, the Corey Matthews.
I need to watch this. I told my wife about it. We're currently watching Lock and Key, and we just did, you know, Shadow and Bone and all that. So, and G Gundam for those of you who were paying attention. So I told her we got to watch Castlevania next. Because I keep hearing good things about it for some weird reason. I don't know. I just keep hearing good things.
Well, my one caveat is that it is a violent show. It's violent. It's animated, so you're not like looking at realistic blood and gore, but they don't shy away from the blood and gore. So even though it's animated, it's definitely not for children and most adults. But I am a suboptimal adult, so I really enjoyed it. So
I like that saying. It's not for children and most adults.
So the animation quality in season one grabbed me, and then season two kept the animation quality and then added in characterization, character growth, plot, like really, really solid plot. And then I turned on season three and two episodes went by and I hadn't been paying attention, so I decided that it deserved the attention. So I haven't gone back to it yet.
Season three is definitely the weakest, but boy, season four, like, they upped that animation quality again. There were just so many cool scenes. Literally, my only complaint is that they don't use a lot of the soundtrack from the games. Like, they use one song in one episode.
And it was probably Vampire Killer Bloody Tears. Am I right?
It was Bloody Tears. It was Bloody Tears, yeah.
I had to do one of those, too. Yeah, if they're going to use one song.
And the scene where it plays is my favorite scene. But, yeah, it was great, and I love it. I grew up with the games, but
I would have even taken a theme of Simon.
I've introduced the show to people who have not played the games, and they still think it's good, so it's not just me having a nostalgia party over here. It's good.
All right, Tori, out of the three songs, Vampire Killer, Bloody Tears, and Simon Belmont's theme, what's your favorite?
I can't pick.
I like Vampire Killer.
Really? That's interesting. I feel like that's just the most overused. Bloody Tears is pretty overused. I like theme of Simon Belmont, but I like Bloody Tears is also really, really good. I think Vampire Killer it's just gone too long being reused without really having been, there hasn't really been any innovation to that song with all the reusing of it.
Yeah, that's
it's a great song in CV1, like when we first booted up and there it is, you know. Great song.
No, look up the Castlevania medley from Video Games Live. Video Games Live, I've talked about before, is a concert that they get a symphony and a full choir to play video game music. And one of the songs that they generally play at the live shows is the Castlevania medley. And it's fantastic. It's on, like, all of my playlists. And they get out the electric guitars and they, like, rock it out. And it's fabulous. I love it. I love it.
So I never actually had Castlevania 4 as a kid. So my first exposure to theme of Simon Belmont was in Castlevania Bloodlines. So it was on Sega Genesis. So the Sega Genesis version of like the first stage from Castlevania 4. And they use it at the end of Castlevania Bloodlines. And it's just like so intense. Like you're getting ready to go to like the final boss gauntlet. I think it plays as you're not quite as you're going to Dracula, but like toward the end of the last stage. And it's just like, it just hypes you up for like the ending of Bloodlines. And that's kind of was my first experience with that song. And it's really good. And all
I'm
the
really
blast processed because it was the Genesis.
I'm really hoping because, so the show ended with this fourth season and it's all wrapped up and ending and it's done. Like they didn't leave it off on a cliffhanger or anything. But the reason that they ended the show is because they're going to make another show in the Castlevania universe. And so
Metal Gear?
So I'm hoping we get like Simon Belmont this time. Like, for those of you who are old like me and might remember that cartoon Captain N, the Game Master.
We definitely need a redo on Simon Belmont after that.
Yeah, Simon Belmont was one of the characters in that. I was trying to tell my husband about that the other day, and I was like, just think of it as a very long commercial for Nintendo products. And
is he younger than you, or just didn't have the show when he was a kid?
He just didn't watch the show. Mm-hmm. No, he didn't really have a Nintendo growing up. They were his dad is a computer programmer, so Matt grew up playing
with an Amiga, obviously,
the whole time. anyway, this is not the Tori's Good Thing podcast. This is the Cosmere Deep Dive podcast. So, Dave, why don't you tell us about the chapter you read?
Yes, I did read some chapter this week. It was chapter 5 of Shadows of Self by Brandon. Am I saying this right? Sanderson?
I have never heard it pronounced that way even once in my life. Craig?
The authority.
Yeah, that sounds correct to me.
Uh-oh.
Well, that's for sure wrong then.
All right, chapter 5. So we have kind of like an Elantris chapter here where it just goes back and forth between three characters, two male, one female, one best character in the book.
Did it bring back memory?
It kind of did. Like, honestly, I was just kind of like, oh, this is just kind of like sequentially going through three different characters. This kind of reminds me of Elantris. I doubt that was the intention, but I got a little nostalgic for Elantris just by the format of this chapter. I don't even remember if it was actually like a strict sequence. Like, did it go Wayne Wax, Marassi, and so forth? Whatever. All right, let's just I'll go by sections. I don't know. We'll just swing it. All right, most people die when they've had the most practice not dying. Wise words from Wayne, I think. Oh, my gosh.
Yes, everything he says is pretty wise.
I'm Wayne, you guys. Should I be happy about this?
We established that Wayne is Bugs Bunny, so, I mean, I don't know. Seems pretty good.
That's a pretty positive.
Haven't we all been Wayne at some point in our lives?
I haven't. I actually have not. I'm more a Wax Bunny guy.
In your waning years. I'm definitely like, I'm kind of like the critical thinker that Wax is, but the goofball that Wayne is.
I was literally Wayne last week. My friend Jesse, I told you guys recently I got him to read the Mistborn books from Final Empire all the way through Bands of Mourning. And he was having a Memorial Day cookout. And so I took some brats that we had from when Matt went on a hog hunt and contributed that to the foodstuffs. And then when I left and I was reclaiming my Tupperware, I'm like, I'm going to just take some of this brisket that Jesse cooked because he makes some delicious brisket, right?
And for it.
I left the rest of the brats. They were good brats. And I was like, Jesse, I made a trade. And he's like, thanks, Wayne. That's literally what he said as I walked out the door.
You taught him well. Now teach him to listen to our podcast.
And I do have amazing taste in hats. Anyway.
All right. Wayne sticks around to keep Wax from getting more strange. You're telling me I have a serious problem. You're telling me a Steel Runner can fire a gun 4 times in an eye blink? Is the gun also a Faruka Mist?
You're telling me a shrimp fried this rice?
All right, so I guess we'll talk about this. We have a Steel Runner who supposedly fired this gun 4 times, and as Wax puts it, the four gunshots were fired in an eye blink, and sounded like one super loud gunshot or whatever. But like, all right, so let's just assume that you've stored up infinity speed and you can move from point A to point B at the speed of light without worrying about relativity or anything. Let's just ignore all that. Like, okay, I'll buy into all that. But how is the gun actually like able to fire 4 shots in that time? Like, how is the mechanism of the gun in this era, no less, like, possibly, like, can I impart my ferrochemical powers onto the tools that I'm holding?
I think we need to get the Mythbusters on this one. How fast can you fire a gun?
I think because the barrel would get too hot and like blow up on you, wouldn't it?
I think Dave's got something here. The practical way to overcome this that Brandon should have seen is 4 guns.
I was gonna say you could have multiple guns, and you can certainly move fast enough to switch guns and fire a different one.
What if it was one guy with 6 guns?
You know what? That makes sense. I'll accept that it's possible that this Steel Runner had 4 separate guns.
Crisis averted.
I don't think that was the case. I think it's actually just one gun. But the actual solution here is just multiple guns. You know, the mechanism doesn't have to keep up with
you know
the
what?
Flash.
I'll allow it. Okay, that's what happened. That's the only thing that makes sense. All right, first of the month. the heck does that mean? New billboard day?
First of the sun, Dave, not first of the...
Dude, we've read that already. We got off Pachi. It's like Wayne often says, and here we have some great Wayne quote. Greet every morning with a smile. That way, it won't know what you're planning to do to it. Until you know it ain't true, treat every woman like she has an older brother what is stronger than you are. I really should write these things down. And finally, the crux of the matter. If you're going to have some, if you're going to have to do something awful, stop by Wax's room and trade for some of his rum first.
Compile a book of all of Wayne's advice.
Yeah, it's called Shadows of Self by Brandon Sanders.
I thought Wax was a whiskey man.
Well, that's why he still has rum lying around.
Yeah, fair.
Because, yeah, he drinks the whiskey before he drinks the rum. It's like I drink my whiskey before I drink my gin. But if I'm out of whiskey, I got the gin. And if someone came over and stole my gin, I'd be like, well, at least they didn't steal my whiskey.
I'm partial to rum, so that's what we tend to run out of first.
In my house, rum's the rum goes too, first.
It's a little too sweet for me.
Oh, I mix it with sweeter stuff to make it sweeter.
I mean, it's literally fermented sugarcane, so, like, yeah.
If I drink rarely these days, but when I have a drink, I like a Malibu and Coke.
Okay. A little coconut in there.
Yeah.
Kraken and Coke for me.
Craig, you want to weigh in on booze preferences?
I like chocolate milk.
Good job.
You know it's good?
I also that's my response.
Chocolate liqueur in milk.
Yes.
Or eggnog. I could go for that.
How about Kahlua in coffee?
How about Kahlua in ice cream to make a boozy milkshake? Yeah.
All right. That's it for this scene. So this scene consists, from Wayne's perspective, apparently he lives in, like, Wax's attic now, and he just comes down and he's like, yo, good morning, Wax. I'm here to trade for your rum and off to do something awful. And then Wax is like, I also have something awful that I have to do. And Wayne is like, well, you should steal some you should trade for some of Wax's rum first. And Wax is like, I'm all out of rum already. And Wayne's like, well, tough business that, and it's out the door. And that's the end of the scene. Next scene from Marassi's perspective, afternoon edition. So she buys the newspaper and that's it. Next scene, Wax visits Grandma Wafflecopter. Craig, I want to hear your take on this name of Wax's grandmother, the terrace woman.
Waffendel. Pretty good, right? No. Right?
Yeah, that sounds a bit okay, actually.
Yeah, it's a bit okay.
Or Wafflecopter for short. All right, next scene. Wayne University.
Okay. Oh, hold on. I can really feel like I know there's one character you're paying special attention to. Not that there's very much going on. These is pretty fun.
There's Marassi's doing almost nothing, and Wax isn't doing anything until the final scene.
Keep going.
Wayne University. Three trials. Is Alejandra that girl whose dad Wayne shot? Mission accomplished. So, if you recall from Alloy of Law, Wayne shot some guy and... You know, I don't remember if it was his, like, the guy's wife or Wayne himself kind of took it upon himself to be responsible for providing, like, you know, financial aid to this family. But at any rate, Wayne has to sneak into this university, get past the sorority guardy, and talk to this girl, Alejandra, and give her money. You know, as part of his penance, self-imposed penance for shooting her father. And, you know, it's not fun. And he has to do it every month. But you know what? Gosh dang it. Wayne's going to try to do the responsible thing, even if it's difficult, even if the person whom he's trying to benefit is making it more difficult. But, you know, like, they're just what he, you know, he mugged and shot Alejandra's father, and, you know, she'll never forgive him for that, but he's not seeking forgiveness. He's seeking to just simply do the right thing. And that's admirable. And he does that in this chapter. One of my favorite lines from this chapter is the dormitory guard lady. She's like, I thought I told you not to come back. And Wayne says, I thought I ignored you.
Hey,
and he bribes her. Yeah.
I sort of want to talk about this whole action that Wayne has taken here.
Sure.
Like, okay, from Wayne's perspective, like, yeah, this is definitely, I think, a noble way to go about. Like, he made a huge mistake, and he's trying to do what's right. But, like, from Alyandra's perspective, like, I wouldn't want to see the killer of my father, like, every month, just, like, as a reminder that my father is dead.
And the point's also brought up that Wayne could just send the money to Alyandra, but I think part of his penance is being reminded of the guilt and the pain that he's caused.
Right, like she shows him a picture of her father that he's forced to look at every time or something.
Except that him doing that causes her additional harm, as you've already noted.
Like, I feel like there's definitely some emotional harm that's done to her every time he does this. And while he's trying to do the right thing, I'm not convinced this is the right thing.
You're not convinced that this is the best way to accomplish the support.
Yeah.
He's like 90% there.
Yeah.
Like, he's trying to atone for something he did wrong. He's not trying to, like, being forgiven or not isn't relevant.
Yeah. Right.
But the way he's going about it is causing a small amount of additional harm, and he should stop that.
Right.
I don't think
anyone else knows that he's doing this. He doesn't talk about it.
Wax probably knows.
I'm sure.
Like, I'm pretty sure that when Wayne first came back to Ellendale and then started disappearing regularly for a few hours, Wax started having him followed until he figured out what was going on. Because that seems like a very Wax thing to
do. He doesn't trust his best friend.
No. And if Wayne was your best friend, you wouldn't trust him either.
All right. Yeah, okay.
Well, at the same time, like, Alyandra she's always going to know that her father's killer has not forgotten. Like, she may not forgive him, but she's going to know that he also doesn't forgive himself. So, I don't know, maybe long term, it's going to work out okay.
At least we have one optimist on this podcast.
Trying and to play devil's neutralist. Advocate here, because the devil happens to be Wayne, and I love
I haven't put this much thought into it, but it could go. I don't think that you can necessarily say that Wayne is wrong here. I mean, like, probably, but
he's not as right as he could be, is sort of my.
Yeah, the thing is, like, I think that you'd have to, like, really know Wayne's motivation here, because something is painful for somebody doesn't mean that it's bad for that person. Like, exercise is painful, but it's good. And so, like, is Wayne trying to help her cope with her loss, or is Wayne trying to compensate for his own guilt at her expense? So if it's one, then it's good and he should continue doing it. But if it's the other, then, like, he should just cut it out and just send her a check. I think that Wayne's motivation is the key here to unpacking whether this is morally right or not. So, yeah, I don't know if it's, like, if he thinks, and, you know, just because he's, like, has good intentions doesn't mean that this is the smartest thing to do either. So, like, is he trying to help her cope with the loss, or is he trying to overcompensate for his guilt by harming somebody else? I don't know.
Yeah, if it's a question of his motivations, I don't think he would set out to harm this young lady on purpose.
I don't know that he's thinking about that. I think his motivation is to remind himself of the guilt.
Right. And if his motivation is to remind himself of the guilt, then that's fine, but he shouldn't be harming somebody for that.
Yes, and that's sort of my core thing.
Yeah, that's probably accurate. But I also don't want to say, even if his motivations were pure, that this is good. I'm not saying that.
Shall we move on to the next bit?
Yeah, sure. Mike, you'll appreciate this. Calming tea.
I don't know.
A la Wax's grandmother. As Sinthew, Grandma knows a terrorist killer. Did Harmony ever kill one of his own? I dash we. Really? Like, what are you going to name your Steel Runner kid? I dash we. Like, what a goofy name. You actually break it down and pretend it's in English and not terrorist.
I'm the Dash.
Is that an Incredibles reference?
Yeah, it is.
I was just thinking of that, because...
What do you name your Steel Runner kid? Dash.
Clearly. Right, Dash. Uh-huh.
I have a nephew named Dash.
Fun fact, in the French version, his name is Roger.
Does Roger mean go fast in French?
No, but I don't think Dash translates the way it ought to, so they just gave him a different name.
Probably is like a dash of salt.
Are all the terrorist names just like normal names in the French version?
I was referring to The Incredibles, but
oh,
I don't know.
Okay, I misunderstood.
What about Wax's terrorist name, as in Thew? It's like Matthew, as in Thew. I don't know. I couldn't really... I guess not all names have to be, like, dash, dash, dash. Eh. Alright, so Wax came to his grandma to get some dirt on, some Ferrucamus. He's like, what steel runners do you know that would be involved in this? And she's like, there's a steel runner named Idashwee. And also reveals that the steel runner is a female. She also mentions she's not proud of Wax for being a lawkeeper because, you know, Wax does the gun, bang, bang, shoot 'em up thing. And she's not into that. She's like, you're killing people. And Wax was like, but Harmony also killed. And Grandma says, oh, but Harmony only killed monsters and beasts. He did not kill his own. And I stopped to think about this. And Harmony or Say said, he killed... first of all, when she says his own, does she mean humans or does she mean terrorist people? And then...
I assumed human.
Humans. But he kills Kolas.
He does kill Kolas, and Kolas is human.
Which are human. Maybe he didn't know that at the time. But are there any instances of Sazed killing another human knowingly? I couldn't think of any, but I could think
he
of like...
He was very passive. I remember that time he guarded the gate and he bulked up. And that was against Kolas, like you said, so...
Did he kill Kolas, though, or did he just like...
Yes,
hold the
lots
gate?
Of them.
He like single-handedly guarded the gate. I'm pretty sure you have to kill Kolas to get them to stop.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the problem at the time is that Kolas were not considered human. They didn't know how Kolas were meant.
But he also, like, he also made opportunity for Vin and Kelsier to kill others.
Sure.
So, like, it's not really innocent. He's not, like, it's not like he has no blood on his hands.
The important thing
of human blood
is that after he became Harmony, he didn't kill people.
I don't think that's what's intended here.
The important thing is that after he became Harmony, he was God, and so he was able to write the history of the world, literally.
Yeah, I don't think Sazed would lie, though.
Well, also, people will interpret the past how they will as well.
So I think this is a bit of a cherry picking that has happened.
Well, I was just wondering...
Guarantee they know about holding the gate.
Do we know of an example of Sazed killing other humans or even allowing the murder?
You mean the old Fundy terrorist lady is biased toward her terrorist god? Like, that's weird.
Yeah. All right. So she gives him this name of this steel runner. All right. And final scene. Marassi's back at the office, and Chief Aridel was hoping the press would blame the constabulary for the massacre at the governor's brother's thingy. But no, I don't know. It was kind of like this chapter didn't really end on like a really big revelation or anything. So not much to go out on here other than Marassi's. Kind of like brings the afternoon edition.
There's not going
to
be a lot. It
was a one chapter episode. I had high expectations. Diagram.
Actually, yeah, that brings up a question for Tori. Why did the diagram have us only do one chapter this week?
It was the way the page counts broke down. Like, if we split it in some other way, we would have ended up with a short episode, like extra short episode. In the future, so it was like, you know, either a medium-sized episode now, or it just gets ridiculous later, so.
I can't believe you guys are questioning the diagram. Tori, I'm with you.
I was smart that day, and, like,
I'm
I don't know
it,
the answer
dude.
Today, guys.
I'm not a diagramist. Or a pathogen.
I'm just going to follow whatever the diagram foretells.
Thank you, Greg.
Are you a trellist, Dave?
No.
I told you, I'm a Vorin. It's a trellist again. There's like 1,000 religions
or
in this form.
Heating up hot pots on the table.
No, that's a stove.
No, it's for growing vines.
Hot pots.
Oh, trellis.
You put on it when you.
I thought you said trellis.
Yeah.
No, a trellis is for growing vines, like a.
Yeah, I learned that word from Disney's Recess.
Hey, that's in viticulture.
Trivet.
Trivet. That's the word I was thinking of. No, yeah, trellis is in viticulture. Thank you, Mike.
Craig, what's that game? Asgard Rising. Is that a game?
I think there's a Valhalla Rising.
Valhalla Rising. What's that game where you're all the Norse gods?
Yggdrasil? Yggdrasil?
I didn't even plan that, but I'm glad it happened. To be fair, I don't know how to pronounce Yggdrasil either, but I think I did a better job than Craig. Well, I've been playing a lot of La Mulana too lately, and there's a ton of Norse mythology specifically in that game, and it just reminded me of that board game. Well, I guess it's just called Faxanadu. All right, I think that's the end of this episode.
Okay, now we're going to have some spoiler time. So, does anyone have any other questions for Dave before we kick off, Dave?
Give him the boot.
The boot. Okay. The boot.
Bye, Dave.
The boot.
Bye. Bye, Dave.
The boot. The.
Dave's gone.
Dave's
play the
gone.
Thing.
Play the thing.
This concludes the spoiler-free section of our podcast. If you are, as I am, reading along for the first time, we recommend that you stop listening now, as the following will contain spoilers for not only this book, but for other Cosmere books as well. There may also be general spoilers from any other source material. Spoilers begin now.
Mike's jumping in host duties.
Well, if I don't say it, then I won't clip it. Or, yeah.
Well, do you need to say it without me interrupting you?
No, it's good.
Okay. So, spoiler time. Craig, what you got?
I actually don't really have anything.
What?
I can't think of anything. We get a little bit of, we get a view of the terrace, which is good. We can see what they're up to. And Wax is indeed part terrace because, of course, he's a compounder. Well, no, he can't compound. He's a twinborn.
There you go.
Yeah. And Wayne, of course, is... We don't see him in...
When do the terrace test kids for Furukami?
I don't know.
Is it before or after
question.
They get named?
Do you really think Idashwi is...
I mean, I'm certain it's Brandon being a goof.
Yeah. Like, this is the only time you really hear about her, and she's dead anyway because Bleeder stole her ability.
But I'm wondering if, like, do they find out... Like, do they just, like, put babies' hands on different metals and see if they immediately, if, like, they instinctually start storing?
Yo, it's on his Twitter. Is Idashwi really pronounced Idashwi? Peter Alstrom says.
Awesome.
This is intentional.
I mean, that's how it's pronounced in the audiobook, so...
I honestly didn't know until Dave said it out loud, because you know how I pronounce it. I didn't know it was pronounced I-we. I was probably like it-we.
If you have a question that hasn't already been covered by like Word of Brandon, don't ask Brandon. Not like on Twitter. Like if you can get him at a signing or something, great. But on Twitter, ask Peter.
Yes. And someone asked Peter and they responded with yes, that is actually how you pronounce it, and that was intentional.
Because yeah, Peter is way more active on Twitter and also doesn't have anywhere near the like the traffic that Brandon does. But Peter Alstrom is the guy to ask.
Oh, and there was an Alstrom reference in this chapter. I think it was one of the constables when Morassi was walking through the department.
Isn't there also Alstrom like an Alstrom square on one of the maps? Or was that in
that I would have to check.
He didn't draw the maps. Someone else drew the maps.
But surely he had a hand in the naming of the sector.
Well, he doesn't have...
I know there's an Alstrom loop on the Skyward.
He doesn't have to name stuff after himself. Other people can name stuff after him. Like, I don't know, Brandon can name things after him.
Yeah, I thought we were talking about Brandon.
Well,
Brandon
Peter.
Has a hand in naming the spaces.
There's Alstrom Square in Luthadel in Mistborn Erewhon.
Okay.
There's Lieutenant Alstrom in the Constable, and Alstrom Tower, which is a skyscraper in Ellen.
Oh.
Well, I wonder if the Constable is related to that family.
Probably just a coincidence.
Oh, apparently Pete, a member of Bridge 4, is also a Peter Alstrom. Peter.
Oh. Well, now we know a Bridge 4 person who will never die.
And Pete's fiancée is Ka, who is a cameo for Peter's wife, Karen. Look at that.
Yeah, so, how sweet.
So if Brandon comes up with like an actual music-based magic system, will there be an all strum?
Okay, I'm checking out of this
for
one.
Sure.
You guys, stand back.
Okay.
Okay.
So while you were away, did you think of anything for spoiler time?
Nah, not for this chapter.
Go away and come back again.
So I wanted to talk about...
Mike, we can have a short episode this week. That is it.
No, I had stuff for spoiler time. I mean, yeah? I suppose I could have talked about it when it wasn't spoiler time, but I didn't think of it then, so I'm going to talk about it now. And Mike might be able to weigh in on some of this, but I was getting a lot of Native American vibes from the terrorist people.
I think that's intentional.
Yeah. Well, for sure. I'm sure it's intentional, but so things I noticed. I'm not going to say that the terrace part of town is comparable to a reservation, because I never lived on a reservation, though I have visited them. But the way it talks about how the terrace govern themselves very much reminds me of the Indian nations that we have here in my home state of Oklahoma. There's the scene where Wayne is just arriving in the area, and it mentions that the terrorists police themselves. We have a lot of that going on because the tribal authorities sometimes conflict with the local authorities, depending on if the crime took place on tribal land or if the criminal is a member of the tribe. Or if you're not aware of the light horsemen, the tribal police they're sort of like the highway patrol in that they wander around sort of between jurisdictions, but they have all the powers of a full policeman. Makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I thought about that a lot during this week's chapter.
Yeah, I like it. It tracks.
But the sort of the gap between recognizing your heritage and moving on with the times, because the terrorists are kind of stuck in the old ways, and you get a lot of Native American society. I'm going to offend all of my relatives by saying this. It's kind of old-fashioned, right? And you want to honor the old ways, but at the same time, like, modern medicine is way cooler than what the Native Americans have, right? So I'm just going to stop talking before I swallow my foot any more than I am.
Okay.
I know what I'm thinking and feeling. I don't know how to articulate it. There.
Fair enough.
I can see what you're saying, Tori. That's all I got, because I don't know much else, but I'll have to agree with you.
My family is just very, very into their Cherokee roots, and I'm not as into it as they are. So Brandon, you touched a chord with me. Good job, Brandon.
I think all I have is a reminder that in 3 weeks we're doing Castless.
Will we see Bleeder by then?
We've seen Bleeder.
Okay. Will Dave know about her by then?
No idea.
So you said in 3 weeks?
Yeah.
So up to 12, chapter 12, we probably
it's
should.
It's on the episode chapters.
I think he has an interaction with her.
It's actually listed.
Episode 156. I mean, we do task list halfway through the book, so if we haven't seen her by then, it's because she doesn't show up halfway through the book, which seems kind of like poor planning on the author's part.
Yeah.
But we've been talking about her, so it's not a fault for Brandon. She's a Chandra, so she happens to just look like other people. But I could have sworn there's a scene where she talks to Wax, but this is before he realizes who this is. So, okay, that's fine.
We had a conversation in the spoiler discussion channel about how to pronounce Kelsier's wife's name.
Mare.
Maracy.
Wait, is that her full name?
That's not
Kelsier's
wife.
I always thought her
wife.
Name
that's,
was just Mare.
Yeah, her name is Mare, but... And then Maracy, which should actually be
you
Maracy.
You say Maracy too. I'm not wrong.
I know. It's,
well, we're not saying we're not saying that you're not wrong, but it is Maracy.
But it should be Maracy.
Named after the flower / Kelsier's wife.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. I think we talked about that way back when, because we realized the connection there. I think in Alloy Blow we talked about that.
But that was so long ago. Like, we've been doing this podcast for a really long time.
My one friend gave us a listen recently, and he's like, wow, I didn't realize that you guys, like, it was just when we finished up Words of Radiance. He's like, I can't believe you guys are almost done. I'm like, slow down. We still got, like, 3 to 4 years of content left, assuming Brandon writes nothing in that span.
Yeah.
But I think Dave will ultimately catch up with us. just because we read faster than Brandon writes, but it's pretty close. We got like a good 10 years of content here.
I want to say we worked it out at one point that like based on what Brandon has like on his schedule and then the rate we're going, like we'll catch up somewhere in like Mistborn Era 3, I think. Tori, does that sound right or am I just making
things up? Oh, sure. Yeah. No, sounds good. I haven't looked at the diagram in a bit, but it sounds pretty spot on.
Okay.
Could be totally wrong.
There we go. 100% confirmation.
We don't have much in front of us. We only have two more Stormlight Archives, which is the bulk of what we have left. And we have these two Mistborn, and we have the White Sands stuff, and a couple of short novels. Like, that's sort of it, but, I mean, two Stormlight novels are big, yeah. So.
The two longest Stormlight novels.
Yes. Those will definitely carry us. Yeah. It looks like by chapter 12, I don't think he's going to cast Bleeder / Palm, because I don't think we see her by then, because she's taking other forms. But we should see Milan.
Does Wax have the convo with Tensoon by then?
Is Tensoon in this chapter? In this book?
Yeah, I thought so. I thought he's, like...
Yeah, he's in this book.
I gotta look that up. I didn't realize that. He's not said by name, right? Or no, maybe he is.
No, he is. He's even in, like, full wolf form, if I remember correctly. Unless I'm thinking of something in the next book, which is really easy to do.
Yeah, during the hunt for Palm... He met Wax to guide him to the Chandra homeland. So he does that. Okay, I remember that now.
Chapter 21, looks like.
Yeah, I think things start getting real after we find the dead Adashwi, if I recall.
After we find the dead Roger Parson.
Right.
So do we cast Tensoon and just let Dave think about that?
No, I don't think we should. Technically, we've already cast a Tensoon.
We have, but we also have a habit of recasting people who appear in subsequent novels. On my end, because I don't remember who I cast before.
Right.
Yeah, and we could be like, and I cast so-and-so as the voice of Tensoon, and then Dave will be like, wait, Tensoon's in here? And we're like, yeah, but you don't realize who it is yet. And he'll spend the rest of the book being like, who the heck? Like...
Oh, that's...
Well, he's already going to be looking for a different Chandra, and you want him to think about Tensoon now, too?
Yes, that is brilliant and evil, and I'm doing it.
Okay. You're welcome, Tori. To cast whoever you wish.
Thank you, Tori, for being more evil than me. I appreciate it.
Well, we could also be like, and I'm casting so-and-so as the voice of the unnamed Chandra.
Nah, no, I think it's fun if we actually say...
Or what if we say Orsor? What if we cast Orsor?
Why would you do such a thing?
For the chaos.
Because Dave will scream so prettily.
So regarding what Sword Nimi is saying in chat, yes, we have confirmed Tensoon. He showed up at the end of the last book as...
No. That's not what he's asking.
Oh.
I think he's asking if this is like, if Tensoon actually survived. I mean, he does, but I think there is a question of whether they have all their memories. Because they pulled out their spikes to become Mistwraiths. So they might have lost something while they were floating around, whatever it is, Mistwraiths.
Yeah, because they were all dead, and then Harmony brought them back.
Right.
During the things.
So their memories and everything might be spotty. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's just Tensoon, and he remembers some things, but yeah. So I don't think you can't really kill a Chandra / Mistwraith.
Well, you super can.
Well, okay. Yeah, no, hold on. Let me fix what I was saying. You can't kill them just by removing their spikes.
Right, just removes their sentience.
Right, it's removing the connection that they have between the physical and the cognitive and spiritual. It's just removing that link.
It's functionally murder.
Yeah, absolutely. But you put the spike in and you get the connection back.
Yeah. So I'm going to cast Tensoon's voice.
That's what we've decided.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'll think about it.
Thinking Keith David. He's got a really good voice.
Didn't I cast?
No, and then we need to be like, okay, and now we're going to kick Dave off for spoiler time so we can discuss the rest of the cast list. Only there's not any more cast list in spoiler time. We're just going to let him wonder.
No, it's to let him wonder when he hears Tensoon. He's like, I'm trying to look at my former cast list. I want to know who I casted. I didn't cast him in Alloy of Law. So that's sad.
I could, you know what? That's a good point, Sword Nimi. I could cast Mae Whitman as Tensoon. That'd be good.
Sword Nimmy says, if we want to be really evil, cast a woman as Tinsoon to throw Dave off.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's fun.
gosh, dang. I casted Milan, but Dave wouldn't know why.
Oh, when we get back to Stormlight, I know who I'm recasting as Zeth now.
Oh, I did Orseer, because he didn't know Tensoon, and I did Idris Elba. Good, I think.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah, that's a fabulous voice.
I could listen to Idris Elba all day.
Like, he could be reading a cookbook, and I'd be fine with it.
But I really like Keith David. That's, he did the voice in Coraline, right? Of the cat?
Yeah. David. And he's also, he's probably got, like, hundreds of IMDb credits at this point.
He was Gus's father at one point?
Sure. Yes, he was the recast of Gus's dad. The first casting was Ghostbuster. What's his... Why am I blanking? Craig, I'd ask you to help me out, but you don't know actor names.
Ray Parker.
No. What? First off, it's Ray Parker Jr.
Well, yeah, I know. It's,
It's not Dan Aykroyd.
Ernie Hudson.
Ernie Hudson. There we go. Thank you. But yeah, and then in a later episode, I guess they couldn't get Ernie Hudson, or, like, he wanted more money, or whatever. They just couldn't get him, so they got Keith David.
Does anyone else notice that we talk about Psych and Harry Potter a lot on this podcast?
I would like to go with more Psych and less Harry Potter.
That's true.
If that's possible.
We have been. We actually haven't done much Harry Potter. It's good.
I know,
until
but...
somebody brought it up just now.
I'm sorry. Well, we did in the past. I can't remove what we used to do.
Well, and it's like Dave's only connection to fantasy literature, so...
He reads other things, though.
But he doesn't
well,
read
he
fantasy.
Does now.
All right. Anyone else have anything?
No, I think I'm good.
All right.
Okay. Good night,
Corey,
Internet.
Yeah. End us with that famous call sign that we give at the end of every episode.
Okay. I'm going to cut it here. Good night, Internet.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been the Cosmere Deep Dive Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at CosmereCast or like us on Facebook. Our theme music is Traveling Made Up Continents by Gillicuddy, used with permission. Hear more from him at the Free Music Archive. Thanks for listening.